America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
You're watching the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 Network. Now, it's time for the Brent and Austin Show.
Hey, welcome into String Sports Brewery here in Springfield. We get to open the place on a beautiful day in Friday, Easter weekend. Should be a heck of a weekend as we turn the calendar to April. And I'll take one of all. How about that?
Yeah, let's go, man.
That's a good starting.
Already got a foot in the parking lot. Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all 13 of them. I'll be the Cinderella story here on a Friday. Brett Martineau, Austin Lane. We are live at String Sports Brewery. I think we're going to get out of that Action Sports Jacks 24/7 Network studio a bunch over the next few months, and we'll be here for some of it as well. Brett Martineau, Austin Lane, Jason Hamby, and hey, you got to love a Friday when you can kick off things with some brand new news out of the gate.
Make it pretty easy on us. Appreciate you, Jaguars.
Thank you very much. Like, where were you the last few days? The Jaguars extending Foye Aluikin right out of the gates. This is interesting move on many respects, I think, because it's obviously a money move to create more space, but it's also, hey, we're committed to Foye Aluikin move, which we weren't completely sure of how long that commitment would be, especially with the investment at linebacker with Devin Lloyd, Chad Mumma, Ventrell Miller in the draft. So yeah. I think there's a lot of prongs here, but this guy's been a heck of a football player for the Jacksonville Jaguars over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of consistency, he's probably been one of the most consistent things that the Jaguars have right now. And, you know, obviously Ryan Nielsen coming in and having a vision of what he wants to do with this defense. Does Ryan Nielsen have any ties to Foye Aluikin?
I don't think so. He was in Atlanta. Obviously, Foye was in Atlanta, but they didn't go crossover at the same
pass.
Time.
Okay, but obviously Ryan Nielsen likes what Foye Aluikin has done, and you know, I'm sure Doug has felt the same way, so they feel the need to extend him. My question is how does this affect now the Jaguars cap of how much money they have to spend?
Yeah, I mean, it will be interesting to see exactly what it actually impacts, right? Or does it impact anything? I don't know what it will impact, what the Jaguars have to spend. I mean, it's got to be able to clear up some space in the immediate, right? That's probably the biggest thing.
No, for sure. And like my biggest thing, obviously, is you're hoping to see a Josh Allen deal get done sooner rather than later now, right? I mean, they're starting to extend some of the guys that they want to keep. I'm all for it. I'm sure Josh Allen's minding his time, but I just feel like the sooner you can get that Josh Allen deal done, the better. But it's going to be a lot of money. It's going to take some time, some negotiation. I just don't want to, you know, I don't want to have that book report due, you know, by at a certain time and wait till the last second to turn it in. I'd rather get it done earlier rather than later.
Yeah, that's interesting. You seem like a procrastinator.
Oh, there we go.
Instead of a prognosticator.
There we go.
So I'm surprised you want to get it done so early in this book report.
When it comes to Josh Allen and being the best player in the Jaguars, absolutely. Yeah, well, I want to get it done.
Yeah, that's maybe not a bad idea. Hey, Jason Hamby, say hello to us. Are you getting everything okay back there? Just want to make sure as we're leaf blowing outside, cleaning up the place right outside here in Springfield, but all good back there.
Yes, sir. We're all good. I just hit the wrong button on accident, but we are all good.
Hey, that's about nothing. That's okay. That's easy. We just want to make and by the way, Hamby, we'll get to that bracket in a bit, but you and I got a showdown, man. This isn't just a baseball showdown. We got a showdown here on a weekend in late March.
It's going to be a good one in about when does that? Tomorrow? Will it be tomorrow?
That'll be tomorrow, yes. That's the way this works. They get a day off and then tomorrow.
What do you guys think about it? I actually stayed up to, much against my better judgment, watched the Illinois-Iowa State game. Kind of fell asleep like towards like the end of the game, but caught the rest of it this morning. some pretty dang good tournament games last night, all things considered.
Yeah, UNC-Alabama really was a heck of a game. And I had Iowa State, and so did Hamby, so we were disappointed in that. I think they scored on like 8 or 9 possessions at one time. We'll break down some of those games and where our brackets are at. But that was disappointing because, in reality, Iowa State's the best defensive team in the country. So I was surprised to see that.
Yeah, and you know, I think what made yesterday's matchup so great was the fact that you had arguably the best defense in college basketball right now versus the best offense, maybe, with Illinois. So the fact that you had that showdown and everything, and I think it was kind of the Terrence Shannon coming out party to a lot of people who weren't familiar with his game. That guy kind of had a breakout performance, man, attacking the rim and everything. So he was really fun to watch, and one would think, you know, in terms of NBA draft boards, probably made some money for himself last night.
All right, let's go back to the foyer of Lewican front. We'll get to the NCAA tournament. We'll get to a little Major League Baseball opening day and everything else. But the news of the morning is foyer of Lewican signs a new 4-year, $45 million deal, according to Tom Pelissero. $22.5 million guaranteed at signing. Lewican had no guarantees, according to Pelissero, in his final year of his contract. Now he gets a 3-year extension locked in for the long haul. So some upfront money for him makes a lot of sense, too. Now, when you do that, again, that guaranteed money, Shad Khan writing the check, that helps clear the books right now. So what does that do to the Jags cap? We'll take a further look at that once we can digest it all. But I think that's what this is all about. You bring up Josh Allen. It's the same type of deal, Austin, right? Let's just say in the next couple weeks they were to come to a deal with Josh Allen. Well, they're going to clear a lot of space for this year by doing so, because they're probably going to write that bonus check that year one won't be on the books for $30 million, or right now the $24 million that actually is on the books. So with this and that, potentially, you got a chance to clear up a lot of space. Does that actually indicate to you that maybe the Jags are looking at a Brandon Ayuk a little bit more, a chance to maybe go sign a big-name receiver and bring him over right now? Now, you could argue they could do the same thing in that situation. They could give up trade capital. They could sign him to a long-term deal. It wouldn't necessarily have to go on the books right now. I mean, the Jags are moving a lot of money around. I guess the question is, why are they moving a lot of money around right now?
Yeah, I mean, it could be to try to shore up Josh Allen right now. It could be for a wide receiver. And I'm the last guy that wants to think farther ahead in the future. I think Trent Baalke and Doug Peterson don't want to do that either, because it's such a monumental year for them. But I also have in the back of my mind of, yes, Josh Allen needs to get paid, but next year Trevor Lawrence needs to get paid as well. And guess what? That'll probably be a big contract as well. So I really wonder, in terms of, once again, you know, I always say that the salary cap's not even real, and a lot of times it feels like that it's not real, but how much they can afford to get away with now when you have Trevor Lawrence next year that's going to command the big deal, when you have a big deal with Josh Allen coming up soon as well.
How important to this defense is Foye Aluakin, in your opinion? How good has he been, and why do they want to keep him for the next, what it looks like, at least the next 3 years, even though it's kind of got a 4-year deal attached to it? Let's just assume the next 2 or 3 years. Yeah. They see him as a part of the future.
So what you're seeing right now with this Jaguars defense is, obviously, they're bringing a guy in Darnell Savage. He's going to start. They bring in a guy in Ronald Darby. You expect him to start as well. So you're getting a lot of new pieces on the back end. Still have essentially the same stuff up front, set aside from an upgrade with Eric Armstead. So you have some new faces on a few different levels. You want to have some sort of consistency from what you had a couple years ago when you're implementing a new offense. Obviously, the linebacker making the calls, making the reads, that's Foye Aluakin's job. And I think, like, listen, you can say a lot of stuff about this Jaguars defense this last year, especially towards the end of the season, right? I mean, there were some games where it was just like, what are they doing? I didn't necessarily, like, especially the Tennessee game sticks out to me a lot. I didn't see a lot of pre-snap mistakes being made. And by that, I mean, like, guys not being where they're lined up properly, or guys like not being set on the line of scrimmage, like, and that's Foye Aluakin's job. That's the middle linebacker's job, and I felt like he always had his guys ready to play from that standpoint. Now, physicality and all this stuff, that's a different story, but the pre-snap reads, I felt like that's where it needed to be, and once again, that echoes what Foye Aluakin brings to this team. So I think when you're implementing a new offense, a new defense could take some time to learn. You want a guy, you want a signal call back there who's basically you can depend on, and I think Lukin's gonna be that guy.
Well, listen, his numbers, I think later on this deal, we're getting high up there. I think like 15 up, maybe even accounting against the cap, I think $21 million or something. So this obviously is a rework of that deal. And I agree with you. Like, Foye has just been really good from a quarterbacking standpoint at that position, and that's what you want to do, is be able to quarterback this thing. This to me says, hey, the Jags obviously know they have a good football player. This guy's a Pro Bowl caliber football player, whether he makes them or not. He's helped lead the league in tackles for the better part of the last 3 years. And while that's a stat that isn't sexy, I thought what he really did this past year was increase his splash plays. I think he had a couple, 2.5 sacks it was, and then also the pick six, and I think a fumble recovery. Like, those are the plays that were missing a little bit from the resume of Foye Aluakim. I thought he splashed a little bit more, but this has a feel of Ryan Nielsen saying, hey, this dude's perfect for what we need to do, and we're not going to change it out. 29 years old, still got a lot of good football in him at the linebacker position. We've got a lot of young guys around that still need to find their way. We know what we have here. We're not creating a hole.
Yeah, and now, I mean, I think a big question you have to ask yourself now is, what is the plan with Chad Muma? You know, how did they envision using him in this defense? Keep in mind, it'll be a lot of nickel. I mean, can you see Chad playing a strong side type?
I think so. How about you? I guess that's a better question for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, once again, it's really hard to tell for me because I haven't, like, yes, he's played a little bit, but I haven't seen enough to make me a believer quite yet. So I think that's where training camp, preseason, is going to be the telling story of if he can fill into that strong side or not. Obviously, then I think you have Devin Lloyd doing a little more maybe on the weak side, hopefully rushing the passer, blitzing. But we'll see what Ryan Nielsen envisions with that as well. But, yeah, I mean, I always kind of envisioned, like, could you fill in Chad Muma eventually, make him the true Mike, make him the signal caller? And I just feel like the Jaguars right now think, you know what, we have a great thing with Foye here. Let's just keep the consistency and let's keep him on the team.
He's been so good. 192 tackles, 184 tackles to lead the way. The first year of that was in Atlanta, then in Jacksonville. 173 tackles last year, and I think he was like third in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken, last year. 8 tackles for loss last year, 12 tackles for loss the year prior with the Jags. His previous high in Atlanta was like 4. So he's had his career high in QB hits in Jacksonville, 9 and 10. And then again, fumble recoveries, 2 and 3 the last 2 years. 5 fumble recoveries. In his career in Atlanta, he had 1. And let's see what else I got for you. 1 interception. He did in Atlanta have 5 interceptions, by the way, in 2021 combined. So maybe he gets his hands on more footballs. But he has absolutely delivered as the moral of the story for the Jacksonville Jaguars. When you sign guys, you never know. The Jaguars, when they signed all those guys in 2022, they've actually delivered quite a bit for the Jags.
Brent, if you were to break down the salary then, do you know like how much you'd be making in a year? Like
I think
average?
It's on average, it's about $11.5 million a year.
Okay, gotcha. So, I mean, and the inside linebacker, it's kind of crazy how it all kind of pans out. But if he's making 11 a year, he will then be officially the 5th highest paid inside linebacker in the NFL, which I think is, I mean, basically you're saying you're going to put him right above Josie Jewell and put him right below Patrick Queen, if that means anything to anybody, but that's where he's going to be sitting now in terms of how much he's making a year. Obviously, you have like the high-paid guys, Roquan Smith, Fred Warner, Tremaine Edmonds, Patrick Queen, making a little more, but yeah, I think it's a fair deal. Wild how C.J. Mosley is kind of down that list as well, because we always talk about him being one of the best inside linebackers, but obviously he's kind of on the back nine of his career in terms of age.
Well, this whole Foye situation is interesting to me. I thought he potentially could be a move guy or a cap casualty guy going into this offseason. And the reason you say that is because I liken it to the Rayshon Jenkins deal. Rayshon Jenkins gives you a few good years. He still had another year left on his deal, but you also drafted to replace. You got Antonio Johnson. Then they go into free agency, get Darnell Savage, who can play there. Looks like they're going to use him in the nickel. Well, they got rid of Rayshon. That wasn't a surprise. The reason why I thought the way this is supposed to work, when you're going to get to the 15, 18, whatever, millions of dollars that it was going to hit you for this year under Foye Aluakim, is you did add Devin Lloyd. You did add Chad Muma. You actually drafted a middle linebacker in Ventrell Miller last year. So I was like, okay, well, isn't the way this is supposed to work? Muma, Ventrell Miller, they take that role now on a cheaper deal than Aluakim. I think one glaring thing, either Aluakim's just too damn good, or those guys aren't good enough to trust in those spots. And so they're heavily invested in linebacker, but they're not really utilizing some of those guys they've drafted in the third and fourth round.
Well, and I'm very curious to see, too, once again, something to keep an eye on the draft. Like, we know what Devin Lloyd, and, you know, we're still kind of unsure what Chad Muma can give us. Like, I think we both feel the same way about Devin Lloyd, right? There's been some good, but then there's also been some, like, man, you know, you traded up, and he hasn't lived up to that hype. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
No doubt.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if that's the case, then, like, we know how we feel about it, but how does Ryan Nielsen feel about
it?
Yeah. Like, do they even try to, you know, draft somebody early on at the linebacking position? Do they feel that, you know, Chad Muma can come in and contribute? Or do they go another direction? So, once again, this is going to be a new defense, new personalities in terms of evaluating the talent, and we'll see. I mean, this draft will say a lot about how the Jaguars exactly feel about their linebacking core right now.
Yeah, so big news. If you're just catching us now, we're live at String Sports Brewery. That's big news in itself. We get to open the place, which is absolutely great. We got a good view of a beautiful day in Springfield. And come on out and shoot some free throws against us. If you go 10 for 10, by the way, I'm sitting right next to a TV, and you put your name in the hat for the TV, and you'll come back and you'll get in a playoff bracket here at String Sports Brewery in Springfield.
It's a big TV, by the way.
Yeah, and you don't have to just do the 10 for 10 today during our show. You can do it all the way up until April 5th, so next Friday. And then April 6th will be the semifinal round in the Final Four. Well, then you'll be in the semifinals as well, and then compete for the TV on Monday night, the national championship game. But today, if you come between 12 and 1, not only can you go try to go 10 for 10 on this 65-inch TV, you can also play against us, and we'll buy you a beer if you can beat us. Now, listen, former good basketball player, Larry Bird fan. You think I miss free throws? I mean, come on. I mean,
I'm going to have to practice a little bit here.
But the big news is Foye Aluikin for the Jacksonville Jaguars linebacker extended, according to all the national reports. And now, according to the Jacksonville Jaguars, they just issued a release and confirmed the extension. They will make this now a four-year deal. It's a three-year extension, but a four-year deal for Foye Aluikin, which means in his 29th year-old year, yeah, he is going to be a Jacksonville Jaguar for the foreseeable future. The Jags have their middle linebacker. They have some staples now on defense. They actually have some staples, Austin, on all three levels, mm-hmm, it appears, here in Jacksonville. And Ryan Nielsen obviously loves the way Foye Aluikin fits into his defense. The big question we're asking now is, who is that strong side guy? Devin Lloyd's going to be the weak side guy, we really think. Use that athleticism and maybe utilize him in a bunch of different roles as well, make him more versatile. The Jaguars were a little hesitant to do that last year under Mike Caldwell. They didn't blitz him much. They didn't bring him much. They did on occasion, mm-hmm, but I think you could do that more. The question is that 30% of the time on first down, on those run situations against the run-heavy teams, who's going to play that strong side? You've got Ventrell Miller, but he's a middle. You got Chad Muma. He's more of a middle. Mm-hmm. I got to believe Muma, that's how you get him on the field. I think he can handle that strong side spot. In my opinion,
yeah,
he'd be the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think, because you got to keep in mind, if you're in that base package, what's, once again, it's an NFL passing league now, right? So it's not going to be that much in terms of percentage-wise. But if you're in that base package, you're not going to ask your strong side linebacker to do a lot in terms of, you know, dropping back into coverage and giving him all these crazy reads. I mean, you're out there to stop the run, and if you got to take a guy in the flat or something like that, or take a running back man, maybe you do that, but they're not going to ask too much of him. To me, it's more, especially in this Ryan Nielsen defense, it's got to be a guy that's going to bring the hit stick, right? It's got to be a guy that's going to bring the physicality, bring the attitude a little bit. And once again, can Chad Muma do that? Absolutely. I truly think he can. But I'm going to need to see more of it in training camp and in the preseason.
Well, this will help you out. John Shipley, whether he's listening or watching the tweets and asking about the Sam linebacker spot, he's dug up some numbers. John covers the Jags. He says the Falcons ran a 4-3,
mm-hmm,
traditional 4-3,
yep,
on 56 snaps last year. That was it.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I mean, concern level over 56 snaps, you can throw me out there for 56 snaps in a season and see how it goes. But, you know, John's referring to, it's really more of a 4-2-5,
sure,
kind of defense. With it, and actually, Doug referred to this a little bit the other day. He said, hey, big nickel, smaller nickel, like,
well, and Savage kind of led that on a little bit too, in terms of he's probably going to be lined up all over the place. Once again, that could be a little bit of a question mark though, in terms of Darnell Savage, of can he bring the physicality, can he bring the tackling ability, because what I envision and what I think is going to happen is they're going to kind of move him all around and, like, have him on the line of scrimmage, have him playing center field, kind of be the jack of all trades, if you will. And can he hold up to the physicality? And, you know, can you stop Jonathan Taylor? Will you be able to stop? Well, now it's going to be Joe Mixon.
Yeah. Now it's Joe Mixon in Houston. You're right. One other in Pollard in Tennessee, right?
Pollard
in Tennessee. So the other part of that is last year, at least, and I don't know if this is a new thing. Do you think this is a new thing around the NFL, or was this just close to home with Caldwell? They went to that three safety look quite a bit. So there you go. You bring in that, like, I would say maybe a heavier nickel kind of package, right?
Yeah.
And Dewey Wingard and those guys get on the field a little bit more. When people got hurt, you'd even put a Daniel Thomas on the field. But we saw that three safety look second half of 2022 and into 23. Are we seeing that more across the NFL in general, or is that just more of a Caldwell scheme
that he threw
in there as a wrinkle?
I think you're seeing it more in general, depending what you have in terms of your roster construction. But, like, I think of the Baltimore Ravens, and you have a guy like Kyle Hamilton, who, you know, I think we were both big fans of when he came out in the draft. You know, I mean, couldn't make it work, just, you know, wasn't going to come to Jacksonville, but, like, we're both fans of him, and you look at him and his physical prowess, Brent. Like, the guy essentially built like a rush, you know, a rush edge.
Yeah.
But he's playing safety, so anytime you have a guy that's built like that, that can do a lot of things, well, then yeah, you throw him wherever, keep offenses guessing, and let him, you know, fly around and run around. And I think a lot of success of the Ravens' defense has been because of Kyle Hamilton kind of doing whatever he wants to do sometimes, it seems like, in the backfield. But not every team has a Kyle Hamilton, you know?
Yeah.
I think Darnell Savage could fill that role, or at least they're going to try to make him fill that role of, you know, of a Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, and by the way, you're right. Not every team has a Kyle Hamilton. That's a special player, a dynamic player. In the chat, cap space for Allen is mentioned, and like the move, keeping on field and locker room consistency. Seems like we're moving money around for some more good news to come in the future. And that's really what I was getting at. It does feel that way. When you make these kind of moves, you're opening it up. Now, there's a part of you that can just give flexibility on the cap space, depending on how they maybe think it's going with a guy like Josh Allen. Because, again, $24 million right now tied up with that franchise tag with Josh Allen. Now, it frees up some of that, or maybe even all of that, when you reach an extension with him. But it also handicaps you right now to be able to make any sudden moves that you want to make, and this move allows you some more flexibility. Is that a right now type of flexibility, or is it for down the road? And what I always say is they might want the kind of flexibility for down the road, even around October or now early November when a trade deadline rolls around, to be able to bring on a hefty contract.
Let me ask you this, Brent. I think we're both on the same page here when we say that if Josh Allen gets signed, it's going to free up some stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Correct. So if they can sign him before the draft, would that be telling in terms of, well, maybe then they're trying to make a move? Maybe, you know, I don't know, do I dare say it again, but the T. Higgins rumor, whatever the case may be. But, like, is a draft kind of a good litmus test to see what the Jaguars want to do if they actually sign Josh Allen before the draft?
Yeah, I think all chips are on the table then, right? I mean, they definitely are not stuck in a certain way. And right now they've positioned themselves to not really be stuck. I mean, with their moves in free agency, they have us guessing and debating each and every day. What are they going to do? Get wide receiver, quarterback, pass rusher, depth? Are they going to trade up for a big-time wide receiver? Is there more flexibility now with the dollars available to do that with an Ayuk or a Higgins? Is there noise building there? Or is it just in the draft where you might bring up some of this draft capital or trade it up and move up 8-9 spots and whatever that could cost you? And obviously that would be a cheaper deal if you were able to do that. So, but you could even add to this, Austin, you know, if you're picking at 17 and you're getting a guy versus going up and getting a guy at number 7, well, that number 7 guy is way more costly than the guy at 17.
Sure.
even in year one, right?
Yeah,
So just all those things. I think they are now, they are putting themselves in a position where they're not stuck in a corner. I do like what you're saying a little bit about Josh Allen. If they are able to get that done, now that really opens things up. And to be, I think I could make the case now, and you'd have to really be a cap guru or how they want to do it. But I think you could also make the case of trying to get Trevor Lawrence done. In that regards, if they're freeing up all this and where they could place the money now versus down the road. Because it's a shell game.
It is.
You know, over the next, not just this year, to do what you want to do, and it certainly looks like they're almost all in here to try to win this year, but also for the next 2, 3, 4 years after that, especially when you get to the hefty deals of the Josh Allen that start knocking you on the books, and also Trevor Lawrence, which will eventually get you on the books for. So there's a lot going on, I think, with the cap space, and they know a heck of a lot more. We're just guessing here on the outside. Let's take a break. Brent and Austin show here live from String Sports Brewery in Springfield, and they'll open the doors up. Well, they already did. We opened the place up, but it'll be at 11 o'clock in the morning and go all night. We've got NCAA tournament games tonight, and we've got a free throw shooting contest. We'll buy you a beer if you can beat us between noon and 1, but if you can hit 10 in a row, you get in the mix for a big TV sitting right next to us. Oh, Alabama and Clemson. That's going to be a good one. In the college football
Never
national
saw that
championship.
Coming, right?
Oh, wait a minute. In the Elite Eight instead.
Yeah, wild.
Hamby, Martineau, Clemson, Alabama. It's big one in the bracket contest. We'll be right back on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 Network.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show. Streaming on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 Network.
Hey, welcome back to String Sports Brewery, and hey, they've got inside, outside area. Look at that big game of Jenga you can play. You want to go do that?
Let's go.
It's like a playground here. A playground for adults. We got basketball. We just have some new machines down there, actually, where you order food, I found out. When the TV crew comes here for Jaguars All Access, they love to play Golden Tee in the corner.
Of course.
So we've got that, and how about the old Heritage Field scoreboard there? At String Sports Brewery in Springfield. A new location, by the way, coming in Jack's Beach soon in the fall. So we are hanging out at String Sports Brewery. We'll do that probably a couple times a month here on the show, on the Brent and Austin Show, the Action Sports Shacks 24/7 Network. The underrated part of this place, the beer is very good, right? The atmosphere is good. You can watch NCAA tournament games tonight. You can watch all the games whatever time of year here. It's a great lunch spot for everybody who works in the Jacksonville area. Come on over, slide over for lunch, because the food is tremendous. I think that's the secret of this place. I mean, everything's good, but
the
food is so good, because we eat here like every Thursday night when we do Jaguars All Access.
Sure, sure.
You don't want to not eat here. I've had the fish. I've had the brisket. I've had just about everything, because they change it up, too. I mean, it's a full menu. You know, a lot of times you go to a brewery and it's like it's a very limited menu.
Hey, you get some French fries and some tater tots. Yeah, that's about it.
Well, I've been to one in like Augusta, too, and they did like, it's almost like a grilled cheese sandwich. You know, it's kind of like a grilled cheese mix.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they have the grilled cheese places now, right?
Don't of course, they? Man. So yeah, I've been to those.
It's almost like something like that kind of menu.
Okay.
Like a very like grab and go kind of menu. This is more restaurant style. They cater.
Cool.
Big events come in. That outside area we just showed you, great for parties and birthdays and corporate events. And so if you haven't been to String Sports Brewery yet, well, you should get here. And on a Friday, it's a good way to get it going early.
I'm just noticing their logo, too, with a basketball hoop made of hops. So I can definitely appreciate that as well. So that's really cool.
Well, we'll probably show you some video later, because I just took some near the where you order. One of the things I like that they do, I thought it was pretty smart, is you know how you have like table numbers?
Yes.
For your food, and you put it there so the waiter or waitress knows where to deliver it to. Maybe it's number 13. Well, they put all the different sports teams instead. So you'll have like the Jumbo Shrimp, who obviously opened tonight.
Okay, all the Jacksonville sports teams.
Yes.
Okay, because if I got like the Tennessee Titans, I'm just going to leave. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll stay in the parking lot. Okay, good. Okay, good.
Not that.
Just making sure we get all Jacksonville sports teams. Fantastic, definitely. Brent.
Hey, the big news today is Foye Aluikin signed to an extension for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think a lot of people are wondering, okay, now what's next? And I think we can just sit here and guess what's next for the Jaguars. If you missed any of the earlier conversation, a lot of it was about what does this open the door for the Jaguars to do and moving money around. But I also don't think you can miss the significance of they're not just moving money around and extending a player just to create dollars. They obviously like Foye Aluikin a lot. I didn't hesitate to think that they did like Foye Aluikin a lot. But I also didn't know if they liked them to the point of how much they were going to have to pay them and what the future was, considering how much they had already drafted and everything else. But this is an indicator that he's the guy. And is it an indicator, much like the Luke Fortner upgrade with Mitch Morse, that, hey, maybe we didn't get it right with the linebacker investment? I think that's been one of the criticisms of Trent Baalke in these last couple of years is their overinvestment in linebacker and not being able to, in my opinion, know, is Devin Lloyd good after 2 years? I'm not sure. I haven't given up on him, but I don't really know.
Yeah.
Chad Muma, when we talk about it, what can you say? We've seen him on a very limited basis. And Metro Miller, obviously, as a fourth-round guy, it changes it a little bit, but more of a special teams guy coming in at least early in his career, most likely. But he tore his ACL, so we didn't even get to see him at all last year. I mean, they've really, outside of Foyer, kind of whiffed on the linebacker spot where they've really invested.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a big reason why Foyer gets re-signed. You know, they have a lot better idea of what Chad Muma can bring to the table than we do, right? Because they see him at every single practice and things like that. So I think with Chad Muma, all right, man, go ahead and play whatever your 4 or 5%, you know, snaps at the strong side. I'm sure it'll probably be the backup done to Foyer if Snocker would, if something unfortunate should happen to him. But you have to remain with the consistent things. And yeah, maybe it is Trent Baalke saying, you know what, I kind of messed up a little bit the linebacking position, but it's also, I think, a testament to Foyer Luikin in terms of, once again, and I've said this word like I think 25 times in the show so far, but in terms of consistency.
Yeah, he really is. And you talk about consistency, I'll tell you, availability. I mean, he's been around every game for the last 3 years. I think it's 17, 17, 17. So he's a very durable player, and he's a smart player, and he adds to a locker room that right now, I think they have a nice mix of guys that have really been through it here in Jacksonville now. That's the other part of this. When you think about Josh Allen, Roy Robertson-Harris will be in his third year here. Devon Hamilton's been around. So you think about those up front guys. Now you think about Foyer. He's been a staple at the linebacking spot. This will be his third year. Devin Lloyd will be among the same. Muma even among the same. Andre Siskel's been around. Tyson Campbell's been around. On the offensive side of the ball, we know most of those guys have been around since 2021 and at the latest 2022. There's a lot of, I know this isn't, hey, we're running it back like last year, but there's still a lot of the core of the team of the last couple of years that still exist on this roster. You just got to hope they found the right ones to stay and didn't let the wrong ones go.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can't turn everything over, right? Like, that's not how it works. So you're always going to have guys from, you know, the previous year. But once again, like, you talk about Robertson-Harris and Devon Hamilton, like, well, one of those guys, one would assume with Eric Armstead now, would probably take a reduced role a little bit, right? And once again, we'll see how this draft shakes out in terms of, do they address the edge a little more, and could that affect the guy? I mean, I know Robinson really played inside a lot, but can I affect him even in the pass rush game? So it'll definitely be affected. They did upgrade at some certain spots. But yeah, you still have a nucleus of guys who have been here before, who know, you know, what it was and maybe how bad it was, and now what the new change is going to look like.
Is there any elevation, do you think, in a guy like Foyer's game? And like, as you project out, like if you're sitting there and you're in the scouting department, I know they see more than we see and everything else, but if, like, where are you thinking right now your linebacking group is? If you just want to even go Foyer, Luikin, and Devin Lloyd, you mentioned consistency and availability is one I mentioned. Is there more ceiling to get? Is he kind of plateaued? Is he who he is right now as a football player at 29 years old? And gosh, you got to hope that Devin Lloyd has his best football in front of him, don't you?
Yeah, so I mean, so you're talking about, do we know what Foyer, Luikin is? Like, is there room to grow?
Yeah, I'm wondering how much more of a ceiling, like, do guys at 29 into 30 years old, they even take another step in their career? Or are you who you are? And by the way, that would be fine. If he gives you what you've been getting, like, I think that's fine.
See, I think it comes into a couple of things when we talk about the mic position. I mean, do I see him being a Fred Warner? Well, probably not, because they asked Fred Warner to do a lot more in terms of they kind of let him play, do whatever he wants as well, right? Like, that's not Foyer Lucan's MO. So, I mean, I think what we've seen from Foyer is what we're going to get. Like, I don't see them, you know, tailoring a game now where it's like, all right, boy, every single play you can blitz, you can go here. Like, that's just not going to be his style. It's going to be more of, you know, getting guys lined up properly, using his smarts and being in the right time at the right spot. So I think you know what you get with Boye Luikin. Yes, man, I think in terms of what we've seen now with Lloyd, it could be completely different, right? Is Nielsen going to turn him loose a little more? Is Nielsen going to, you know, blitz him a little more? Because that's what, I mean, keep in mind, this guy rushed the pass a little bit in college. So he had
a lot of it.
So he has that makeup in him. And for whatever reason, Caldwell didn't really buy into that. And once again, it is what it is. But you got to feel like watching him in college, watching what all the experts were saying about him coming to the Jaguars, is that Nielsen sees a guy where it's like, all right, let's turn this guy loose now. Let's blitz him. Let's let him rush the pass a little more. Let's really see what he has. Because to me, you're doing your player a disservice if you're taking away a part of his game that he seems to excel at least at the collegiate level. We don't know the pro level because we haven't really seen a lot of the pro level.
Yeah, you know what struck me? Let me take you back to last April. So it's been about a year ago where we sat down with Devin Lloyd at Jags headquarters, and this was prepping for the NFL draft and our coverage. And so we sat down with him, and a lot of it was, hey, the draft experience and things like that. Well, sure. Ended up talking to him a little bit about his role in the defense. And we asked him like that very question about, do you think you'll be utilized a little different, right? Do you think you'll have a chance to maybe impact the plays a little more up at the line of scrimmage, blitz a little bit more? And he indicated at that time, Yeah. I think like I will. Now, I don't want to overplay this and overdramatize it like it was like, yes, I'm going to do this. It was more just like you could see it on his face,
in the
words that he said. Like, yeah, I think I'm going to be used in that position a little bit more coming out of last year. And remember, the rookie year was kind of, his head was buzzing now. Like, he was not in a great place.
Yeah.
So this conversation also was a little bit about that. Like, I'm in a better place. I feel like I'm going to be utilized. Things have slowed down. All those things. He was disappointed in his play as a rookie in the NFL.
Injured too,
and he was injured
camp.
On and off. That's right, camp. And he started fast, and then got benched, and then came back. But the bottom line is his role. It seemed like they were going to use him in some different places they hadn't used him in year one. Well, what was interesting about that is the next time, like Mike Caldwell got on a mic, and then even in camp when he got on a mic, he was like, "No, he's going to be in his linebacker spot. Mm-hmm. Like he's playing linebacker. Mm-hmm. This we're not going to really." Use him in this way, that way. And I was like, whoa, that's kind of weird. Like, I felt like I got kind of a hint, or we got a hint that they were going to try to mix him up, use some of those college skill sets. And then Caldwell basically said no. And I think, well, that's why they use him. I wonder if from Doug to Nielsen to everybody else on the outside, there's a little more trial and error with that, or at least a little more moving around to benefit his skill set and familiarity of what he did at the college level.
Yeah, you know how I feel about this, Brent, right? Like, you bring in guys for a reason based off of what you see on film, and sometimes I can't stand guys that will, or coaches, coordinators, that will implement their ego and say, yeah, I see the college film and what he excels at, but like, I think I can do this with him because like, I'm that great of a coach. And then sometimes it doesn't work out. A la Taven Bryan. A la Kalyvon Chaisson. A la Josh Allen. A la Dante Fowler. Like, the list goes on and on in terms of guys that you saw in college and you said, okay, well, let's go ahead and try to tinker him around a little bit and tailor him around a little bit. I know Trayvon Walker could be that guy. The bump inside. We'll see with that. We'll see what Ryan Nielsen, you know, has up his sleeves here. But I just hope from Ryan Nielsen's sake, if you get an edge rusher early in the draft, if you get a corner, it's not saying, all right, this guy's a great athlete, this guy has long arms, this guy is whatever, I can make him into whatever I want him to make. It's no, this guy does great at the college level, what he does, let's take that now and implement that in my defense with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Demetrius Harvey put something out here just a moment ago. It's pretty interesting. Jags 2022 class projected starter backup this year. Trayvon Walker, Devin Lloyd, starters Luke Fortner, Chad Muma, backup. So, and if you keep going, you get to Snoop Connor, who's not even there, Gregory Jr. backup, Monterrick Brown backup. And by the way, I think the Gregory Jr. and Monterrick Brown, if those guys are depth players in your secondary, like that's okay. Where they were drafted, like if you can count on them to come in, like I thought Buster Brown did some good things. Last year.
Yeah.
I feel like they like the development of those guys. Now, we'll see. They'll probably bring in even more competition. But, like, that's okay. I think the Fortner one is probably the most bothersome one. And the Muma one, you talk about luxury picks, felt like an odd pick and a luxury pick because they had just traded up to get Lloyd in that draft. They had brought Foye over.
Yeah.
You know, all those things. It really didn't make a lot of sense.
And that was a third-round pick.
That was a third-round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and then where you're using it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's very – there's a couple of these you know, when people criticize organizations for best player available or, well, you really had need, you didn't really take best player available, I think we could criticize the Jags a little bit for taking best player available. on a couple of things.
Sure.
This is one. Walker Little might be another one where they haven't used him very much, and they used a second-round pick, 45 overall, and they really have not got a lot of... Now, listen, when he's played, he's been very good for them, and it's good that they've had him, but he's not like plug-and-play in the lineup for the next 4 years, and Moom is another one of those. But I do think that's a little bit of an indication they went to go get best player available on their board rather than step around that for need. We ask them to do BPA a lot, and the Jags may have welcomed some criticism by doing it.
Yeah, without a doubt. Because a third-round pick, like, listen, they can contribute. A lot of them can start. But they should at least be like special team studs then if you get a, you know, a linebacker in the third round. And like, yeah, I'm sure Muma has played special teams.
Yeah, he's been fine there.
And he's been fine, but he has been a stud.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that
looks like. Well, here's the thing. Do you hear his name called all the time on special teams?
No, I don't think he's like Pro Bowl special teamer in the wake, right?
So, yeah, I think whether it was a result of taking best player available, whether it was a result of, hey, we think we can turn this guy into a true Mike linebacker, and maybe one day he'll take over for Foye. It hasn't come to fruition. And now you got a guy who you took in the third round who might be playing 5% of your starting reps.
So do you like best player available overall, or do you like filling a need in the draft? Because that's like the age-old question in the draft.
Of course. I mean, it all depends, Brent. Like, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, best player available. Why? Because do you have a lot of things to address? Probably not. I mean, maybe wide receiver, but besides that, I think you're sitting pretty good. I think if you're the Jaguars for a couple years, yeah, I think you got to address more of in terms of need and not necessarily best player available. Because, I mean, and here's, when they drafted Muma, I definitely, like, kind of thought, like, what the heck is going on? Just because I get your vision must have been, all right, we're going to have Muma and Lloyd for years and years to come. Like, you'd think that's the vision.
Yeah, I did.
But then also I thought, like, you had Foye Lugan, and who was playing, once again, one of your most consistent players at that position, most consistent players on the team. So I just didn't envision, like, well, how are they all going to work together? How are they all going to fit together?
Yeah, I think I'm taking a look right now at the third round of that 2022 draft. This is kind of mixing in second and third round. So let me get, let's see, the Jags, they took Fortner at the top of that round.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they, at number 70, took Muma. And even the write-up here, this is from PFF, first thing I clicked on. The pick is questionable in terms of need, but Chad Muma is a good value at this point in the draft. There's real merit in that approach. Muma is a prototypical weak side linebacker that can run and chase to the football, coming off PFF grade of about above 90 this most recent season, give up only one touchdown into his coverage in his college career. So
they, call him a weak
side. I think the vision here was to, like you said, Devin Lloyd, weak side, Chad Muma eventually is the future at the middle linebacker spot. Now, maybe that has not transpired as well as they hoped. As I go down this list of names, it's like, okay, who could they have picked instead?
Well, they had the huge thing, and Travis Jones was what PFF picked for the Jaguars.
Travis Jones in DL, yeah. I mean, then I like to look at who went after him. Jelani Woods went to the Indianapolis Colts. Christian Harris went to the Texans, who's done a nice job, right, at linebacker. But again, that would be another linebacker. This pick was viewed as below average at the time. Jones ended up going to the Ravens. Let's see if there's anybody that really just jumps out. If you go the rest of this third round, and N'Kobe Dean hasn't really done much, another linebacker, so they would have went linebacker again. Malik Willis was in this, by the way, class in that third round. Dylan Parham, obviously guard out of Memphis.
Well, and Travis Jones, I mean, you got to wonder, big nose tackle, like what that would have looked like. I mean, he's with Baltimore now, and you know, he hasn't really started, but he's played in a lot of games, contributed and everything. So what would that look like if you got him instead of Chad Muma right now?
Yeah. Brian Robinson Jr. I mean, my point of this is I think you can make the case, and depending on how your board shook out, that they went best player available on their board for special teams, for depth purposes, for future. Like, once we get out of the Foyer thing, I think you can also make the case that either Foyer's done so well.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth really noting what Foyer has been. I mean, he's been really good. And I think what people love, if you're inside that building for Foyer Luikin, is the fact that he's played in, like, every game in his career.
Correct. I mean, I'm seeing guys here. I pick 103, Leo Chanel, a guy I really liked out of Wisconsin. I mean, he's contributing to the Kansas City Chiefs. That guy is on the field nonstop, a big part of their defense. So.
But you know what's wild is there were a ton of linebackers taken in the third round
here.
Like, now, some probably different. Some might be like edge linebackers and that way. But
I mean, Leo Chanel would have gave you a lot. I think Leo Chanel for Kansas City is what you envision Chad Muma to be for Jacksonville.
So, listen, I think it's pretty clear now. If we wanted to go even to the fourth round and other rounds, there are players that you could have taken.
Yeah.
But I do think we ask a lot of times, and it depends what side you fall on, need best player available. And I think there are indications here that the Jaguars did take best player available in the last couple of years in their draft process. And it hasn't always worked out to really help you out. But there are many times we go back in the draft, right? And we say, man, they could have had this guy, this guy, this guy, if they had just taken best player available.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I can't fault them for sticking to that if that's what they're going to say. On our board, we're going to take the next guy that's on our board. Whether your board is correct or whether that line of thinking turns out to be correct, well, that's debatable, and that's what we're here for, to criticize. But I think these are a couple of examples. And I don't think we have a lot of examples of that over the years. I think most of the time we feel like this organization has picked for need because they've had a lot of needy spots.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's my biggest contention with the 2020 draft class. They went C.J. Henderson and Kalavon Chase on. They did not look at a board. They went at a position. Mm-hmm. They needed those two positions to take over for Yannick Ngakoue and Jalen Ramsey. And that was not probably their guys on the board if you just put your top 20 players out there. I don't think that's how it would have shook out.
No, you're not wrong there.
So, interesting the way it sometimes does shake out, even if you have a different approach. Hey, let's do this. We'll take a break here at String Sports Brewery, and we're just about ready to open the doors. It opens at 11 o'clock here in Springfield, and come hang out with us for lunch. We're shooting some free throws. We'll buy you a beer if you can beat us between 12 and 1, and you get a chance to put your name in the hat for Big TV if you can make 10 out of 10. And they've already got some winners. Austin just went 8 for 10. We'll check out the free throw shooting form in just a little bit. When we come back, it's the Brent and Austin Show here on a Friday. Heck of a weekend in Jacksonville.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.